All right, JB here, the Wolf of Wall Street in the Wolf's Den. Got a very special podcast today. My ex-wife, she is awesome. Listen, you know, we're still good friends. She's an amazing person, and she's got a tremendous amount to offer the world. Her points of view sometimes can be extreme, sometimes not easy to listen to, but often she makes a lot of sense, and I have nothing but, you know, massive respect for her. We spent 12 years together, so even though we're not together anymore, and I have a girlfriend, and she dates other people, we still are very, very close friends, and I think that's a good thing for anybody who you've been involved with for a long time. There's no reason not to be, but we still support each other. We were partners in business for many, many years. We still are, okay, and we still do stuff together, and I think that what you're going to find here from Ann Coppy is someone that has spent most of her life behind the scenes, not wanting to put herself out there. I always kid around and say Ann's the greatest underachiever in the world because she's very, very smart, hyper-intelligent, very intuitive, sensitive, but she has not ever put herself out there. So I said to her, listen, time for you to start your own podcast, focus on things that are really important to you, like parenting, certain political things that are going on. She's got some, you know, views that are really, you know, very important to her in terms of, things that are happening in our country right now, in the United States and around the world. But I think it's really a voice that should be heard. So I figured the perfect way to help Anne launch her podcast and also her blog. And by the way, the website is thequietgirl.com, which is hysterical because trust me, she was not so quiet when I was with her, but you'll see that she actually is a very calm, amazing voice. She's kind of the quiet girl, right? But I think that she ultimately is going to have a very, very successful podcast, a successful blog, and hopefully many things that come after that. But this is a really great podcast, and just, you know, I've already done the podcast. This is being taped after the fact. I wanted to just do the podcast first. I waited till after it was done to film this introduction. So the things that we discuss are really profound. We don't agree on a lot of stuff. We do agree on many things, but the things we don't agree on. So I think you'll find it really interesting. And the fact that just, hey, you know, we were together for 12 years and that we could still be really great friends and still have great respect for each other. So let's get right to it. Got to take a quick break here for a word from our sponsor. And after that, let's get right back to Ann Coppy, the quiet girl. All right, listen, you don't need to tell me that running a business is hard work. But if you're still using QuickBooks and spreadsheets, chances are that you're making it far more difficult than it needs to be. That's why it is time to upgrade now to NetSuite by Oracle. Stop paying for multiple systems. Don't give you the information you need when you need it. And ditch all those spreadsheets and old, outdated software programs that you've outgrown and just upgrade now. NetSuite is the world's number one cloud business system. Bottom line, it gives you visibility and control over your financials, HR, inventory, e-commerce, and more. It's everything you need, all in one place. And best of all, NetSuite is for everyone. Whether your business is doing $1 million or $100 million a year, you're going to save a ton of money and a ton of time as well with NetSuite. In fact, over 21,000 companies are using NetSuite right now, so you'll be in great company right alongside them. So let NetSuite show you how they'll benefit your business with a free product tour at netsuite.com/wolf. That's netsuite.com/wolf. Schedule your free product tour right now. It's netsuite.com/wolf. That's netsuite.com/wolf. All right. So with that, we have Miss Ann Coppy, person near and dear to my heart, my ex. How are you?
I'm good. I'm nervous, as you know.
You shouldn't be nervous. So this is what we call conscious uncoupling. So we've been split up for about a year, right?
But you've been wanting to use that for so long.
And still mutual massive respect, right? Always, you know, have that. Okay, I have some questions for you. Some of these are going to be tough questions. Might make you feel uncomfortable a bit, but I'm going to make you stretch a bit here because here's the problem I have with you. You have so much talent. Mm-hmm. You have so many great ideas, Don't agree with everything that you think, but you have so many great positions on things that are really important right now. And I think that, like, when people don't share their talents with the world, they're depriving the world of their brilliance. And I think that's you. You're the greatest underachiever. You have so much to give.
I'm really good at that, though.
No, you have so much to give to people. And I want to start going into some of the topics that I think, personally, that you should have been speaking about yourself publicly. And then the purpose of this podcast is because I want you to launch your own podcast, because it's time for you to shine and stand as the light that you are. You know?
Thank you very much.
So one of the things that we've always disagreed fundamentally on is parenting.
Yes.
Right?
Well, you thought it was a bad word.
No, I didn't say parenting is a bad word, but I felt like it was being weaponized by you against me because I was a bad parent. Because I have more of a laissez-faire attitude when it comes to parenting. So I want to know, how would you describe, in your own words, how would you describe parenting, effective parenting?
It's actually parenting, and it's not a negative verb, which you thought it was. And you have to, it's active and it's conscious, and you can't be afraid to be a bad guy. I think so many parents want to be liked so much that they're doing damage to their children. And you have to teach and treat every child differently. But I think helping them be their best selves and holding them accountable with consequences makes more independent and confident children.
Also, there's a lot of information kids get outside of the home. They get from the school system, which to me is complete infiltrated by people on the left.
So that's a parenting fail too, because if you're allowing the school to raise your children, you're failing as well. If you're not teaching your children critical thinking, to question everything, to use their own thought process, not what's shoved down their throat, I think you're failing as well. I never made it about grades for Bowen. If he tried hard, did well, but if he went his own way, didn't agree with the teacher, didn't want to play the politics, I never forced him to. That's why he's an independent thinker. I think parents who rely on the school or media or whatever to raise their children, that's failing too. If you raise a critical thinker, then they aren't going to say, they're going to go, well, that doesn't add up, because if everything's free, someone's still paying for it. Who's paying for it? And Jeff Bezos could actually pay for it all right now. I'm all for that. I mean, what's he doing with all his money?
Right. Yeah. So I guess, where I disagree is I think that it's okay for people to have different opinions. I don't mind.
Oh, I agree.
I don't think that because someone, listen, if someone said to me, because you like Donald Trump, you're bad, or you're not smart, or you're not good, and say, because you like Bernie Sanders, you're not smart, you're not good, or you were raised badly.
It's the why. Like, I think with Bernie Sanders, he says the system is broken. He's right. It's corrupt. He's right. He was an outsider. I like that. I don't like increasing taxes because I think taxation is, I think you have to read some books like, Bastiat or something and learn about economics. But I agree. I think we need people to have different beliefs. We used to have people on one side and the other. We'd meet in the middle, and it used to be okay to have differing beliefs.
Right.
So it's not that I'm anti-Bernie Sanders supporters. I'm just saying I don't like people who think it should be easy and aren't accountable. And that's where, back to the parenting, consequences. Bowen lost a basketball. I didn't just buy him a new one. He had to make a sacrifice somewhere else in his life. He had to go without something to earn back another basketball, because things just don't get handed to you. You have to work for them.
What do you think about, when I was growing up, when you were growing up, it used to be you need a swift kick in the butt. And nowadays, it's almost like kids feel like, well, if you do that, I'll call the police and have you arrested for child endangerment,
There's a happy medium somewhere. We've lost the middle road in every way.
Yeah. Why do you think that is?
Because they like polarization right now. If you haven't
Who's
noticed.
They?
Whoever is controlling the narrative that's causing it to be black versus white, left versus right, and, good this, mask wearers are stupid, non-mask wearers are selfish. It's just, everything's polarized.
Do you think that the truth is that most people are not nearly that black and white or that polarized? I think most people lie somewhere to the left of center or right of center, and the news and the media is trying to make us feel like we're all divided?
Yes. I think most people are all just want to be happy and live good lives, and they like being productive, and they like having value, and they like having purpose. And I think people we were talking about this. I think the people who are embracing the COVID scam-demic, plandemic, are they need a purpose in their life. And boy, they can feel so good about themselves for wearing a mask. Like, I'm contributing to society. I'm a good person. Because they haven't done a goddamn other thing with the rest of their life. So this is their moment to shine by wearing a mask and proving their virtuousness. And
so it's a virtue signal.
Ugh, pathetic. Yeah, I have no patience for it, as you know.
So I had someone else on my podcast who was really interesting. They had just this whole different take on masks. And they had this, you know, this conception that, well, you know, if the people who refuse to wear masks are, you know, it's just an emotional reaction. And I always said, well, I think you got it backwards. Because, like, you know, if you look on the box that the mask comes in, it says, this mask does not prevent you against COVID-19 or anything else. It's just like a protective barrier against, I don't know what, but it's not protecting you against virus. So why? Well, why is it, you think? I mean, I understand the virtue signal, but do you think that there's something else going on? I heard today on the news, there was a poll they did that people who are on the left are 10 times more likely to think that young people are more susceptible to the disease COVID than they actually does. If you're on the right, if you're asked a question like, "Hey, what's the percentage?"
I hate this right left thing, but okay.
But no. Okay. It's very important though, because here's what we're getting into is why is the meat? Because it's about the meat. It's what they're watching. It's the information they're consuming. So if you're on the left and you're asked a question of what percentage of the people who die of COVID are between the age of like 5 and 30. You're lucky to say 30% of the people that die are that in that age group. Well, it's actually 0.03%. Yeah. It's negligible, right? And if you ask people on the right, they're much, much closer to the truth. So, and the reason is because people on the left watch one set of news and the people on the right watch another, right? So it's like, you know, how much of this do you think is like literally the media just pitting us against each other?
There's that, absolutely. And I think people on both sides are living, they're responding to the fear. What greater way to control people than fear?
Give me an example.
Well, you know, everybody's fearful. Like when this first started, we all thought, gosh, this could be really serious. I mean, why would every country act this way if it wasn't really serious? And then the numbers come out and you see what's happening and it's not that serious. And I've never worn a mask, gloves, just used soap and water, flown a lot, still won't wear a mask. And I'm the weakest link.
Right, you get sick very easily.
Not sick. And it's because I'm not living in fear. It's your whole body's a system. Viruses only, you get the flu when we get run down. If you're healthy, you don't get the flu when it's going around. If you're in a positive headspace, you've gotten your sleep, all that stuff. But if you get everybody in this fearful state, one, they're more susceptible and they're more easy to cull and control. And I think people on both sides of the aisle are being controlled by fear. And it's working really well.
Controlled by who?
Well, that's a good question, because I don't think, and we like to say our government, but when the whole world is doing the same thing, there's people who control the governments as well. So you could say it's the big bankers. You could say it's the Rothschilds. I don't know. I'm not on the inner circle, so they haven't told me.
But you definitely think there is some hidden hand at work here that's directing events.
It's been proven. We've had President Kennedy spoke about it. We've had a lot of very brilliant men. Even in the 1920s, there were people in high up in manufacturing who were speaking about a hidden hand that actually controlled the government. Our presidents have been picked for us. Why do we have these old men? Someone just asked me this. Why is it just these old men coming in for president? Why don't we have some younger people? No, because they're picked. We think we have a choice. We don't have a choice. Clinton, Bush, we're still going to get in the same wars. It's all, we have the illusion of choice right now. And it's all one versus the other. And then it keeps us divided because a nation divided can't stand. And we're way more powerful than we give ourselves credit for. And they don't want us to know that.
So you think the outcome that people, this hidden hand wants is to basically the overthrow or like just the you know, the decay of importance of the United States in the world stage?
I think that Americans, just by the nature of being Americans, we are still a little bit of cowboys. And if you can, and we have the potential to rise up, but we're being stopped from that. And we could change the tide, but we're losing our chance, I think.
So what do you think we should do? What should happen? Like, what changes need to be made? Does it start with the people? Does it start with one person?
I think it starts with every individual. I think, one, you have to stop living in fear. You have to stop hating. You have to start realizing we're all one, that we're made of energy. Energy is everything. You know, between every cell in the body, there's what's between energy. So we're more energy than anything. And the more positive and powerful we become, the more we can make change. But it starts with each individual, not individualizing themselves and separating out, I'm other than you. We're all this energy, but you have to be positive. And we have to think, you know, they say every time you think one negative thought, you should say 10 positives, because negative gloms onto negative and it creates more negativity. And that creates chaos. It's like negative energy, when it gloms, it's almost like a cyclone. But when you have positive energy, you can think clearly, you can see truth better. And I think we all have to just start living without fear, with more love, more acceptance, and more unity, and we can make a difference.
Do you think it's any different than it always was, or we're just now more aware of it because
we're
of social
more
media?
More aware of it.
So, like, you know, I remember, like, I think sometimes I always catch myself with this, oh, I remember the days of Walter Cronkite, or maybe it was just no better. He was no better or worse. Right. It's just this, more
Project
of the
Mockingbird
same.
Project Mockingbird came out before
and,
that.
Yeah, and so it's just basically we had no way of knowing about all the diverse opinions. So on some level, you know, the social media has woken people up that there's so many different, you know, mm-hmm. points of view to everything. So now you're getting, I guess, these, you know, very far left, very far right, and center, mm-hmm. right? So I guess it gives people their ability to make their own decision. But on the flip side of that, also, the way the algorithms work, they're showing you more and more what you like.
Your echo chamber, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that you have fallen victim at all to the echo chamber at all?
I did most of my life. Gosh, I justified some of the wars we were in because I was raised that way.
For example?
I thought that after 9/11, we should have gone to war, because actually I didn't realize it was an inside job. And to divide and take away our liberties. And the more I will entertain any thought. Was it Socrates or Aristotle? Which one said it? The ability to entertain a thought without having to accept or not accept it is a sign of intelligence. Mm. I am willing to take in any information and question everything now. Like, I've sent you some stuff. Like, I'm going way out there.
Right.
But so, I think you should question everything, because you can have a better informed opinion and hopefully see truth.
Do you believe anything that you see now in the traditional media at all?
Oh, not at all.
Nothing?
Nothing. No, they'll put in little grains of truth or things, but it all has a spin. I mean, of course, it's like, you know, I know you've had girlfriends where you're having to tell a story to get out of something. You always put a little grain of truth in there, just, and then you spin the story. Same thing. It's a little bit of just enough. So it's like, oh yeah, well that's true. And then they take it away.
But do you think that it's always been that way, or you think it's really gotten worse?
I think it's gotten worse. I think they're ramping it up. Yes.
Why?
I think that, I think they thought social media and news.
They
was
meaning the
whatever, whoever's trying to divide us, yes, was really going to work for them. And I think that it's been a double-edged sword. Like you said, people are getting other information now. And people are waking up. And so I think the timeline's been accelerated as far as whatever their agenda is. And I don't know.
You don't know the agenda, though.
I think that when we watch movies like Terminator 2 and The Matrix, and you think, oh, it's all fantasy land, the horror of how close we are coming. I mean, look at, we're all slaves. The taxes we have to pay, we're slaves already to feed the system and feed the bankers, and we work so they can make interest on our money. We're already cogs in the wheel. When do we just become even more slaves, where we have less control, less self-determination? We're getting there. We can't fly anymore anywhere we want to go. We can't go outside without a mask. You can't have your business if you want it without the government telling you or shutting you down or arresting you. We are very close to being in little pods where they just take what they want from us, like the Matrix.
How close do you think we are? the weeks away, years away, months away?
I think
away?
They have more technology. I mean, look at her cell phones. They give that to everybody. So the amount of technology they actually have is probably mind-boggling. I don't know. I have no idea. I believe that our weather is controlled. I believe...
Explain that.
HAARP. Yeah, I believe that they, a lot of the damage, like in, was it Iowa? That was all man-made to destroy crops.
So the so that was...
Our weather's been...
It was done like intentionally or unintentionally.
They admitted they weaponized the weather in Vietnam. So it could be muddy.
No, weaponizing the weather is not something that's not science fiction. That's been done in war. They've tried to do that with many times.
Why wouldn't they do that now to control, to affect our food supply and again, make people more fearful, more panicked?
I guess the problem I have...
dependent on them.
You know, I'm not... I really... And I hate even the word... using the word conspiracy, but you know, I don't, my mind doesn't really, I'm very skeptical.
The government made up that word, so you can't say truth.
Right. So I'm skeptical of conspiracy theories, but here's the thing that makes me skeptical is that it seems like if two people know something, it will always get out. It's never a secret. In other words, secrets always have a way of getting out. And something like as profound as like controlling the weather or manipulating like society to the levels that, that you're saying, I think it would really be more out there in the mainstream. Maybe it is out there in the mainstream.
What are you seeing? How can you look at what's happening and not just see that it's pure
I agree. Listen, let me restate. I agree that what's happening right now makes absolutely no fucking sense.
Exactly.
There's a complete scam. Is the biggest, the pandemic is the biggest scam ever perpetrated on the American public, okay? Yes, there is a virus. Yeah, there's lots of viruses out there. This one is particularly not that deadly for most people, thankfully, because I remember like in 1918, that I saw people like dropping dead in the streets. People my age, or younger, in their 30s, just...
You were around in 1918?
No, I'm saying I remember reading. Yeah. No, but the point, I've done a lot of research on this, right? And this is just like, it doesn't add up. It just does not add up that you would destroy the amount of people's lives. You've destroyed the amount of suicides, depressions. You haven't even seen the tip of the tip of the tip of the iceberg yet of all the
more people die of starvation.
Damage. Right. So why? Yes. So there's something clearly wrong here, and there's obviously, but like.
So how can you say it's a conspiracy when it doesn't add, when it's right? They're being so obvious.
Well, because to me it's pretty. Because to me I see an obvious outcome. To me it's so obvious what happened. Okay, is that. Basically, Trump is a threat to the system. He is a threat.
Okay, but why would every other country be working in concert?
Because the U.S. sets the stage for the entire world, okay? And it's basically...
Oh, they've always done what we do? No.
No. Listen, no, not always. But the U.S. sets the stage for the entire world. It does. And I think that on some level, when I say that Trump is a threat to the system, I didn't just say the United States system. I mean the system, the whole system of world government. And the uprising of populist leaders, okay? Mm-hmm. Trump is a huge threat to the traditional establishment. As you said, I agree. They put up two candidates. They're basically two sides of the same coin.
And you don't think Trump's in on it, too?
What's that?
You think Trump is...
I had Tommy Lerner. I asked him this. I said, do you think Trump is part of the problem and just there to mentally think that we have someone fighting for us? She's like, absolutely, positively not. He's a true patriot. There's no way. That was Tommy's.
Well, he's keeping all the patriots in line because no one's rising up because they think they have him.
Yeah,
is he there to pacify the people that would actually save the country right now to a point where we have
Trump is trying to get himself reelected. And I think what happened was is that he started off very pure on the virus, okay? He was being... frank about it. He was not succumbing to the bullshit, okay? But let's go back a step here. Before the virus, you know, they tried everything to depose Trump, to get him out of office. They tried the Russia hoax, the scam. They tried releasing tapes of him saying, I'll touch your pussy. They tried everything. And it's almost like I could imagine a group of people, and again, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but it's tongue-in-cheek, is like a bunch of people, like when they finally, the virus, like, they're like... Why didn't we think of this earlier? All we needed was just to have the virus. We tried the hornets. We tried the killer ants. We tried the Russian. Nothing worked. They're like, can you believe we're that stupid? It took us that long to figure out all we needed was a virus to scare the shit out of everybody, to destroy the economy so we can get him out. They're like, I know, so stupid. Let's just keep the virus. So I believe it's almost that The mainstream media despises Trump. They want him out of office. Okay. And it's almost like it's a hostage crisis now where they're saying, the liberals are saying that unless you vote him out of office, we will not let the economy run. We're going to have violence in the streets. We're not going to let you feel safe at home. And you better vote him out of office. You better, because we're not letting you have life. We're going to make you wear a mask. We're going to, this is what I believe a lot of it is. I truly believe this. And unless you stop this, we're not letting life be as it was. Just who is saying that? I think it's a combination of large corporations with the mainstream media, mainstream media, and it's a lot to do with the fact that all of the deep states, I believe in the deep state. The deep state is made up of all the career politicians, okay, and all the career workers, non-elected officials that are appointed just there through every administration.
You don't think that those politicians actually work for another group of people?
Well, I don't. Here's where we start to differ. I don't know if it's that organized. Where it's, I don't. I'm saying it was tongue in cheek that people were sitting.
By the
in
way,
a
I'm
room.
Not suicidal. I will not. I don't have a heart condition. So right. If I get
it's a nice
suicided, thought, yeah, it wasn't me.
No, but my point is, I think a lot of that. I think a lot of this stuff are silent conspiracies where no one has to say it. Everyone's just not. Everyone's agreeing. Like, you know, let's just keep. If we just keep saying,
but you're
things
saying
are
this
terrible.
All about Trump-centered. But explain Melbourne then. What they're doing in Melbourne, that has nothing to do with our president.
Okay. Well, this is true. But remember, there's huge global eco-politics going on here between China and the United States and Australia. Okay. Mm-hmm. So there's huge pressure right now from China. China's trying to depose the United States as a global superpower. Right. Mm-hmm. I've been to Australia. You know the influence China has in Australia is massive. It's not like
yes.
here, okay? Every menu is in Chinese. They all have Chinese hotels.
Great catered. Food.
They're very China-centric, Australia. Why? Mm-hmm. Because that's the part of the world mm-hmm. they're in. There's a clear mm-hmm. pathway of shipping of iron ore back to China mm-hmm. from Western Australia. So, you know, China's got huge economic sway over Australia. So I think there are things going on. Like, in other words, the Chinese government wants Trump out of office so badly, anything they could do, okay, to get Trump out of office, because Biden is a China love. Look what it has. Someone's being paid off by China. It's a joke. Okay, so they can get Trump. Trump is the first president to stand up and say this relationship with China is not working. It's going to bankrupt the country. All right. Mm-hmm. So China's an incredibly powerful country. The United States is an incredibly powerful country. The powers that be in the U.S. want Trump out. China wants Trump out. Australia's a pawn caught in the middle. All of their wealth is dependent on the ability to export raw materials and services to China and other places. So I think that all these things are politically motivated. The only difference is, and I agree with you in a lot of stuff, but I think a lot of the silent conspiracies, like they're not almost so guided as much as like, it's like, it's like there's unintended and intended consequence. Like, I think the intention of this is to very simple drive Trump and Trumpian forces out of power.
Okay, then how do you explain Jordan? Jordan's a peaceful country, and they have very severe lockdown going on right now. You can't come and go from the country. They're not run by the Chinese.
But I also think
why are they doing this?
Well, because I think that governments love to oppress their people. So I think what's different with the U.S.
So they're all the governments just like, whoa, this is our
end? I think most
end?
Governments like to oppress people. I think governments are generally oppressive by nature, and people can grab power by oppressing people. Mm-hmm. I think the difference with the United States is that we're so, it offends our sensibilities. I don't think it offends the Australian sensibilities. We know Australians. Mm-hmm. They're not nearly as offended. You think that would go down in the U.S. with drones? I read this morning, drones.
Look at what we're accepting right now. I watch muzzled people walk around all day long. I thought the zombie apocalypse was going to be way more fun, didn't you?
But I walked around all day long today. I did not wear a mask anywhere. I walked into a building. The security guy said, put a mask on. I said, yeah, okay. And I walked by him and didn't put a mask on. Okay. I did not wear a mask. I get into the doctor's office. They asked me to wear a mask. I put it off at 2 seconds and took it right back off in a second. Didn't wear it again. I'm at the point right now where I still feel like no one's walked up to me and tried to give me a ticket or throw me in jail for not wearing a mask. But I know in other parts of the world, it's like that.
It's happening.
I know it is happening. And so when I hear things like Biden saying, you know, he's going to make masks mandatory, I'm like, how could you make masks mandatory when I'm looking on the package that the mask comes in and it says this mask is worthless?
Nobody's even doing the comments. It's shocking. The math doesn't even add up.
So you're right. So my point is, though, the only difference is I don't, like, I think a lot of, I think, here's what I'm saying. Silent conspiracies are when all interests align. So everyone, like, mm-hmm. wants a certain, and you don't have to, like, say, hey, you do this, I'll go left, mm-hmm. you go right. Everyone just sort of, like, one, it starts to mm-hmm. take on a life of its own. And I think right now they watched Trump go from being, you know, favorable to, like, being highly, you know, massively unfavorable, from an economy that was, like, the best economy ever to just destroying the economy. And, of course, what happens when you destroy an economy? Trump's electability dropped down to an all-time low about 2 months ago, where he's behind 15 points in the poll. That's
yeah, because those polls are always right.
And I'm just saying, though, but they're seeing it's working. Mm-hmm. So if everyone has a strategy, they see it working, they're like, all right, let's just keep doing more of the same. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yes, but I still believe that it doesn't matter who we have in office. The same things continue to happen. It's not like when Trump got in office, suddenly the people got more control back, which is what I was hoping. I really hope that it would be a nation of the people, by the people, for the people, and the government would get out of our lives and we'd have more personal liberties. And I don't see that happening. So if he is or isn't in office, you think that it's the plan's still not going to go forward?
I think that
you think he
this
really
could be
is
one of the single most important elections in modern history. I think that if Trump is not elected and Bernie Sanders, who's a puppet, like, he's senile.
Oh, I feel sorry for that.
No,
guy.
He's just senile. He's a puppet. He's no power. He's not there. He's been put up as a candidate just so he can step aside at some point. Whether it's he gets elected and steps aside, or he's just elected.
And then we get Kamala Harris. Is that how you say her name? Oh,
Kamala,
God.
Kamala, I don't know what her name is. You know, it's just, you know, the woman doesn't have one. The interesting thing about Trump is you can hate him or love him, but if you look back what he said 30 years ago, he's saying exactly
he's
the
consistent.
Same thing. Consistent to his beliefs mm-hmm. and views. Kamala Harris, every week she's in. One week she's this, the next week she's that. It's like, oh, she's whatever she needs
she's
to say.
She's the definition
to get
elected. Of a whore.
She's tough on
Who
crime.
Who do you want me to be today?
She's tough on crime. She'll put people in jail. She'll lock them all up. Now she wants to let everybody out of jail and they should all have free defenses.
Yeah.
Right? She's anti-immigration. Now she's pro. She, whatever she thinks will get her elected. Mm-hmm. So to me, that's like the lowest life form of a politician ever. There's no truth. There's nothing sincere about her. She just simply says whatever she needs to say to get as many votes as she can. It's all based on what focus groups tell her to say. It's almost the exaggeration of that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Agreed.
What happens, though? What do you think happens to this country if Biden wins the election? Do you think we see fundamental changes, or does the deep state say, okay, we got our way, we won, and all of a sudden the pandemic vanishes and things go back to the way
things
they were?
Things are never going back.
Things are never going back.
Nope.
You think we'll never be able to go out without masks on anymore?
I think until we agree to whatever it is they have in store for us, no. I think that we have so many. They've got us. How are you going to revolt? They can shut down your bank account. You won't have money. They can keep you from flying. Keep you from doing whatever you want to do. They've got us. Unless we take our country back, we're not going back.
I saw something really interesting happen with the Black Lives Matter revolts. Mm-hmm. You know, what they proved is that if everyone stands up at once, there's nothing that anyone could do.
Exactly.
Right. So they're keeping us divided. I give them credit for the sense that they've mobilized and they just, you know, people will be scared if we go out there and become violent and yell loud enough and actually commit violence in the streets and everyone does it at once, then simply the police will be overwhelmed mm-hmm. and we will have a revolution. They had a revolution.
Unfortunately,
they won.
The people who love our country are all law-abiding citizens, and so they have to get pushed very, very hard before.
How much more do they have to get pushed before they stop saying, you know what, if we're living in a country that's allowing like that couple that's getting arrested for trying to protect their own homestead after it was being overrun by people because they took guns out. And I was so proud of that couple that did that.
I think they need to go more into the Midwestern areas where people hunt for a living and skin their own animals and enjoy it and try to take over there and see how much Americans can.
Do you think it's at a point now where almost like the country is so divided it needs to split up into two different countries?
I'd be okay with that, actually. Like, if someone wants, like, the whole socialist system where you don't have liberties.
Like East Germany, West Germany.
Yeah, and we can go back to what our founding forefathers and the Constitution was about, like, no taxation of our income tax. There's never an income tax, and we did just fine. And we have a, you know, state and local levels have more power than the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think your role in this is? See, this is my thing with you. I think you have a voice, and you're being a bit like you're not being as vocal as you usually are right now. You're being very reserved with your words here.
Well, because I you're very good at talking. I think you have to lead by example. I don't hate anybody. I am not buying in the divide. I'm not buying into the fear. I believe that we have to all be better people, raise our vibration. It sounds kind of woohoo. You don't believe in that. But this is a spiritual battle. This is good versus evil. And we need, don't think it takes as many really enlightened good people. I think one of those is worth 1,000 mindless zombie drones, and they know that. So they're trying to put fear and lower everybody's vibration and keep truth from being shared. So I'm, in my way, just trying to stay true and live in truth and love and.
What about projecting that out, like through, like, you know, by having your own podcast?
I know you and my son both say I should be doing this.
You're sure? Well, I think you're because you have very strong opinions that are not in the mainstream. They're not fringe, but they're just not mainstream. And I think people need to hear that because I think people get too much of the mainstream bullshit.
They do.
And, I think a lot, I agree with a lot of the things you say. I have some things where I start to depart with you, with the intensity of some of the feelings. I'm a more like, I always feel like if I ever get that much invested in one point of view, it's like there's something.
Oh, I agree. That's smart. Know? Yeah. As soon as you get too, if you start following the herd, you know it's time to go.
Yeah. So it's like whenever I say these people are bad, these people are good, it's always like starts to get, because I've been on the other side of that.
I don't think that's what I think. I think the people, and you have to feel sorry for them, the people living in fear or the wearing the masks, they've been programmed. You can't hate them. You have to feel sorry for them. What a miserable existence. And then to be taught to hate, how miserable. What that does to you when you're taught to hate the other, hate whites or hate blacks or hate people who don't wear masks, or to have to live with that going on inside of you. We shouldn't hate them. We should feel sorry for them.
You sent Bowen to public school, right?
Yes.
Would you, not today...
Well, I always wanted to homeschool, but I was a single mom and I had to work, so I didn't get to.
Knowing what you know today, what if you were under the same circumstances today, what would you do?
I wouldn't put him in school.
You would not put him in school?
Nope. Wouldn't vaccinate him, wouldn't put him in school.
And why wouldn't you vaccinate him?
Because, first of all, the idea of putting a virus in you of the virus you don't want to get seems like an oxymoron. And then also, it's not just the pure virus. Like, if I get it from you, remember chickenpox parties? If I get a virus from you, it's naturally the virus. When they're injecting you, that's not just the virus they're putting in. There's other mercury, there's other things in there that are not human. They're not part of what our structure, biological, they're not part of our structure, and it's dangerous. And when we get sick, it's because our body's rejecting toxins. So you inject your body with a toxin to keep it from getting sick. You're putting a toxin in your body that's now in there, ready to be triggered at any time. It just doesn't make sense.
So why?
I believe in the immune system.
So why do you think that? Like, do you think there's just massive corrupt individuals that are trying to hurt people? Like, is that?
Yes.
Who?
Well, Bill Gates, for one.
Bill Gates, so you think that Bill Gates has evil intentions, or is it possible he believes in what he's doing and he's just wrong?
Okay, so he's supposedly a brilliant guy, but he thought GMOs was the answer to world hunger. We had enough. Remember, we'd pay our farmers not to grow wheat? Remember that? We have enough farmland where we could just have healthy organic wheat. Somehow he thought GMOs was the answer. That's not, never has been, kills bees, kills people, not healthy. But he's a proponent of that, of Monsanto, of all that. And then all the testing he's done in Africa on the poor children there with vaccines and how many are dying from them.
Do you think he's evil or just wrong?
I don't know, because I don't know him personally.
Because it's a good question.
It is a good question. I think, though, the fact that he's so absolutely sure he's right makes him dangerous. Hmm. And the fact that he thinks this, the mandating of these things, and he's got all the answers, there's a level of evil to that. Because it's one thing if you have all this money and you genuinely want to help and say, I have an idea. I have an idea, we could do this. Let's put it up for debate. Let's talk about it. Let's have it as an option. But when suddenly his idea is the path and the way to go, and he's shoving it down everyone's throats, that's evil.
Mm. So you think it's a case of absolute power corrupting absolutely Bill Gates, maybe?
Maybe he's just, you know.
Well, maybe it's just literally his
once you get, I think once you get to a certain level, you get approached and you got bred and brought into the team, and then you work for him.
And who is the team?
We don't know. That's the hidden hand where we have no one's figured out. Is it China? Have they been playing such a long game that they actually took over all the bankers and they thought, I have no idea. I don't know.
It wouldn't make sense.
It does, none of it does. I don't know. I do know that the world is not as it appears, and that the veils are being lifted, and truth is, we're seeing it more, and that's a good thing.
You ever feel like, you know, it's all a, you know, kind of the preview for, and the aliens have landed now. You're like,
They've already been here.
They've already been here?
Yes.
Where are they?
They're amongst
walking
us.
Walking among us?
Yeah. They've been here. The Earth's been around for thousands and thousands of years, and the pyramids is technology we did not have. You know me, I'm all about, there were giant trees on the Earth at one time. Question everything.
So you don't buy into the traditional narrative of science that the Earth is 13 or so billion years, you know, 6 billion, the universe is like 13 billion years old, the Earth's about 6 billion years old, dinosaurs 60 million, you don't buy into that timeline?
No, I don't know. Honestly don't know. Like, I could just question everything.
Do you believe evolution?
No.
Okay. Do you believe it's not true?
I think people and animals and creatures evolve, yes, we've seen it, yes. But like, let's say we actually evolved from monkeys, the monkeys would kind of become extinct. Wouldn't that happen in evolution? Like the one creature like would morph into another one, and then the one would cease to exist in that form?
Well, it depends if they were competing for the same resources.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
I have a degree in biology.
I know, that's what I like about you. I can ask you these questions. You shouldn't be asking me, because you know I don't know anything about science.
I think the question is, evolution versus intelligent design? Is there something, mm-hmm. is there something at work that designed it or set the stage at least? And again, the older I get, the more I learn, the less I think I know. I'll tell you mm-hmm. that much. You know, if you would have asked me this question when I was in college, and I was mm-hmm. getting my degree in biology, right, and chemistry, I would have said absolutely evolution, you know. And now,
me too.
I think it's a combination of a bunch of different things. Like, I just don't really see how I came from a monkey. It doesn't quite add up to me. But then again, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's possible.
No, I don't know either.
I do think evolution. And I think it's a combination of a bunch of different processes, one of them being
evolution. I think
evolution.
We should question and be open-minded to any and everything. Because here's the thing, having that answer wrong for a while and living with it and then changing your mind as you get new information, it's not hurting anyone to be open-minded. It's when you close your mind that you get in trouble.
Do you think the hidden hand, if there is a hidden hand, and I think mm-hmm. there is, I think it's pretty obvious mm-hmm. there's something wrong right mm-hmm. now. Are they necessarily evil? Or do they think they're doing the right thing?
Isn't that a great question?
Do they think they are the saviors?
I think it's a really good
question. The ends justifying the means, in their opinion, and things must be done a certain way.
Like Thanos?
Oh, yeah,
I know, that's where you go with that.
No, I was going more like the Adjustment Bureau. We're like, there's a plan and we're off plan right now and they're trying to correct the plan. I guess, it's Thanos, right? But I know, I think that... you know, most people, I think if you look back in history, all the most atrocious things that have done, the most horrific acts, were always when someone thought the ends justified the means. It always ends badly. When someone thinks they're so right that whatever they do is justified, bad things start to happen. Do you think that's part of what's going on right now?
Well, okay, but you have to go back to the thing. If you're okay with any amount of human suffering to get to your end goal, how could you be a good person when it's all unnecessary? We have enough food, we have enough water, we have enough everything that no one needs to be starving on our planet. That's all manufactured, the starvation and poverty, just to create more chaos. You know that. Africa is one of the most wealthy nations for natural resources. You know that. Countries are, yeah, not countries. Continent. Thank you for that. Yet somehow they're so poor because they've been exploited, right? Mm-hmm. So if we lived properly and these people had all this power and they were actually good people, no one would have to be suffering. They wouldn't be forcing masks on people. There's no way you could be a good person and thinking hurting this amount of people is justified. No.
Do you think that Fauci is an evildoer?
I think he's an idiot. I think he's a puppet. Boy, he's changed his mind. Science is, that guy and his relationship with science is like nil. He just, masks are good, masks are bad, distance this, don't that.
Why do you think, I'm stuck on this whole issue of masks.
Well, you're the scientist. You know how little they work.
I do know how little they work. They're worthless, okay? Mm-hmm. They're scientifically worthless. Mm-hmm. Unless you use a certain type of mask and you know how to put it on and take it off, or else it's completely and utterly
worthless.
Well,
it depends if you're sick or not, because the one reason you get good oxygen and you breathe out. If you were sick, you'd make other people sick. And the other one protects if you're sick. So
the masks that people are wearing right now are utterly and completely worthless.
Stupid.
So the question is, why would scientists be proponents of wearing masks when it's just simply rubbish?
Because they're paid to. And there actually wasn't it in Germany where a big panel got together and they talked about what scam this whole thing was and masks and all that, and it was a bunch of German doctors and they told the truth. There's a lot of doctors coming out speaking truthfully. You don't get to see them because it doesn't push the narrative.
But why would Google buy into this narrative?
Because Google, first of all, stop using Google as a search engine. There's a lot of search engines. And there's a bunch of others I haven't written down. But a bunch of others, and you should post this for all your viewers, because Google, they will only show you what they want you to see. They're part of the whole thing. They're part of the news cycle. They're part of everything. They're just part of the propaganda.
Do you think Google is one of the biggest parts of the problem?
Oh, it's, yes.
If you had to say top five players.
All the media.
Okay, the big media. So
all the big media.
CNBC, MSNBC, CNN. Main ABC News,
even
CBS
News,
Fox News.
All of them. They're all owned by the same people. But there's only five companies that own the media across the entire world? Yeah, it's the same news. They all say the same thing, same talking points.
And Facebook, Zuckerberg?
Facebook, all social media platforms, yeah.
All massively part of the problem.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Working together or separately?
It's all in concert.
Yes.
To divide misinformation, misdirect.
To the end of destabilizing the country, or you're not sure?
I think it's making people stupid. Look how easily people are controlled. Everybody's putting on masks like it's a great thing. People have stopped getting real news a long time ago. We've had people dying all over the world from terrible things, terrible genocide happening all over the world. I don't see people wearing that stuff on the back of their jerseys in basketball games because it isn't trending. People are so small and simple-minded and dumbed down that they can only care about what they're told to care about. They don't do any research of their own. They don't understand anything going on globally. And they're told that, masks save lives and I'm a good person, so I'm going to wear a mask. And, Black Lives Matter, so I better put it on my jersey. Stupid people. What they're doing is keeping people's eye on what they want them to look at, so they don't see what's really going on, and so they can't act accordingly to make a difference or live better.
So what's the path back?
Truth, research, open your mind.
So step one is every person
question everything. Turn off your TV. read a book, read an older book, an even older book, and talk to people. Do you know, every time we traveled, I would talk to every driver we had, and I'd ask him about what he thought about his country and what he thought about politics. And you realize everyone's much more alike than you think.
Yeah, that's true.
And we all are so much in common. We all want the same things, and they're making us think we're so different. And they're keeping us from traveling now. So we do feel more separate. So get out there and connect with people and hug them and get within 6 feet, because that's the energy field of the human connection. And realize it's just open your mind and your heart and don't live in fear. Just stop with the fear.
So there's an announcement coming now in this podcast, and that is, everybody ready for this announcement?
Fine.
Anne actually has started her own podcast. Okay.
She didn't know that.
She didn't know that, but she started. I'm not releasing this podcast until Anne's first episode of her own podcast.
Will you come on as a guest? I would love to have you.
But I will. But I want this podcast to come out. I want everyone who's watching this, if you align yourself with Anne's views and you want to keep
hearing. Or if you don't and you just want to bash me, because a lot of people feel really good about themselves by bashing people. I found it.
Or you want to just bash her. Okay. So
you need something.
So that link is going to be posted, okay, on this page. How to actually click on. We're not sure of the website just yet, though, the link to what it's going to be. It's going to have a really cool name. So you're going to be able to go right from this podcast and listen to Anne's first two podcast episodes. Okay, who those guests are, mum's the word for right now. But what's your podcast going to be? What do you want it to be about? Tell me.
I have no idea. I want it to be
Anne's Rants?
Well, Anne Rants is my blog, Anne Rants. I want it to be about information, anything. People want to know. We all have the same problems, same issues, same everything, from relationships to health to what the heck's going on and what did you think about that show? And I know a good joke, although okay. I can't tell a good joke.
I would say that your podcast is going to be a victim-free zone.
I don't like victims. I think they're food animals.
The food that should be eaten, basically.
Yes, you know.
Victims are food animals.
Yeah, sorry.
What are some of the other topics? Parenting, for sure, right?
Parenting, yes, for sure. I have a lot of ideas on parenting.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And how about, how would you define yourself in terms of your politics? Libertarian?
Libertarian, yes.
Definitely libertarian.
Definitely libertarian. Yes, I'm a constitutionalist libertarian.
Constitutionalist libertarian, okay. Mm-hmm. And?
Anti-war.
Anti-war.
Mm-hmm.
You believe the United States should be more isolationist than the global policeman?
I think we should stay out of everybody's business, yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. So everybody, this is the deal here. You have to, after you're done with this episode, I want you to go straight to the website here. It's going to be listed right below on the information next to this podcast. I want you to check out Anne's first podcast, okay?
He's going to not make me an underachiever.
And no, she's trying to Anne to get out there. So, no, Anne, listen, she's being very shy today because she's on the podcast and she's not used to being in the public eye. But I will tell you, she has a lot of awesome things to say.
Thank you.
I don't agree with, I don't agree with a lot of what you say, mm-hmm. but I agree with the underlying premise and what you want to accomplish, which is a better world, a world with less bullshit and more truth, and a world where everybody is free mm-hmm. to think and feel and do what they want without being either feeling like they're thrown in jail or rejected
exactly.
or dismissed out of hand, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There you go. All right, everybody, Anne Coppi. Anne, thank you for coming on.
Thanks
You're
for
awesome.
Having me.
I love you. And
I love you.
You've given me the gift of having the greatest stepson ever. Okay.
Yes.
It's an example of exes that can still have great respect for each other.
Yes, so that word you wanted to put in there, the conscious
uncoupling. With Gwyneth Paltrow, she's conscious uncoupling. Oh, this is conscious uncoupling.
Yeah, we could talk about our relationship. That would be exciting for people.
We'll save that for another one. With that, everyone, thanks for coming to the Wolf's
Den.
Share this with your friends and check out Anne's podcast. It's going to be awesome. Take care. All right, here's the deal. As America gets back to work, you want and need every possible advantage out there to succeed in the new economy. Smart companies run on NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud-based business system. So receive your free guide right now at netsuite.com/wolf. That is netsuite.com/wolf. All right, real quick, listen, if you're a CEO, you're a sales manager, or you're involved in hiring for your company, I want you to check out my new organization, Straight Line Hiring. What we do is we deliver expertly trained salespeople to companies like yours. World-class salespeople trained by me and delivered to you on demand. Go to my website, jordanbelfort.com. Check out Straight Line Hiring, the only way to grow your company with certainty.